WBAI New York.
Freak out. Do not freak out.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Coming up next is EcoLogic. Please stay tuned.
With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on following the earth and telling where we gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for EcoLogic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is EcoLogic for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our guests are Roger Manning of MAGIC, Metro Area Governors Island Coalition, and Michael Johnson of South Bronx Unite. But first, in today's news, the EPA's Solar for All funding, the mystery behind tardigrade superpowers discovered, and the ocean's record-breaking hot streak.
We like to start our show with good news. The Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, has announced $7 billion from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund to 60 Solar for All projects nationwide. Most projects are at a state level, with a half dozen tribal projects and some multi-state awards, with awards ranging from about $25 million to about $250 million. With so many good applications, there was not enough money to fully fund everything. Rather than cut any project out, and without Congress appropriating more money, the EPA is awarding the same percentage of the requested amount, about two-thirds, to every qualifying project. The program is designed to enable low-income households access to clean solar energy, and the 60 projects will allow nearly a million households in low-income and disadvantaged communities throughout the country to benefit from distributed solar energy. We link to the EPA project page on our website, ecoradio.org.
Not too many invertebrates have a fan following. For example, butterflies, of course, and ladybugs, fireflies, octopuses, translucent marine critters, sea anemones, phosphorescent plankton, and some places praying mantises and crickets. And tardigrades. They're also known as water bears. They look cuddly, can go into suspended animation, and are pretty much invulnerable. If they have to, they can pull in their legs, jettison water, turn their insides to glass, and slow their metabolism to imperceptible levels. In that state, tardigrades are able to withstand completely drying out, trips into the vacuum of outer space — they've actually gone into outer space — x-rays, and other extremes. Sounds more like science fiction than science, but I guess that's why I'm a fan. Tina Hesman-Say wrote in Science News magazine that tardigrades are not extremophiles that live only in extreme environments, but extreme tolerant. Biologists have long wondered how tardigrades do what they do and what triggers it. Turns out it's simply oxidation to an amino acid called cysteine. The article on the process of the study and how the tardigrades do that is linked from ecoradio.org.
4 weeks ago, Ecologic talked about how air temperatures across the globe have been the hottest on record, and our prediction was that this was going to be another record hot year. Science News Magazine has an article by Nick Ogasa that the average temperature at the ocean surface has also been the hottest on record every month for the past year. Record global heat for 2024 is also predicted for the same reason. Another El Nino, spreading warm waters across the tropical Pacific Ocean, is expected to be stronger this year and will last a longer time than in 2023. The ocean, covering nearly three-fourths of Earth's surface, absorbs a lot of the excess heat of greenhouse gases, but there is a limit. Meanwhile, absorbing all the heat causes more hurricanes, more coral die-offs, and they are, or were, one of the most productive ecosystems on Earth, and more melting of Arctic, Antarctic, and Greenland ice, raising sea levels even faster. Let's talk local. That will cause more flooding to New York City subways because every storm surge starts from a higher point. It also means more flooding of coastal highways and coastal rail lines for the same reason. We link to the Science News article from our website, ecoradio.org.
Now we have an environmental song for you, written and performed by Leon Rosselson, World Turned Upside Down. Attacks on the commons by the wealthy have been going on for hundreds of years. Here's Leon Rosselson with a song about one such attack in 1645.
In 1649, to St. George's Hill, a ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the lands in common and to make the waste grounds grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. So it will be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No man has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the land. Now everywhere the walls spring up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven, or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor folks starve. We work, we eat together, we need no source. We will not bow to the masters or pay rent to the laws. Till we are free, though we are poor, you diggers all, stand up for glory, stand up now. From the men of property the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim, tear down their cottages, destroy their corn. They were dispersed, but still the vision lingers on. You poor take courage, you rich take care. This earth was made a common treasury for everyone to share.
all things in common, all people one. We come in peace, the orders came to cut them down.
We come in peace, the orders came to cut them down.
That was Leon Rosselson singing World Turned Upside Down. Now we welcome our guests. Roger, please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Roger Manning, the co-founder of MAGIC, the Metro Area Governors Island Coalition.
I was
a longtime downtown Manhattan resident. And so on and so forth. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. And Michael?
Hi, I'm Michael Johnson, a co-founder of South Bronx Unite, and I'm reaching out to you all today from Mott Haven, a southern portion of the South Bronx, a southern community in the South Bronx. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, I think an awful lot of our listeners have experienced or know someone who's experienced an attack on the commons, especially parks. I mean, parks are public spaces for everybody. And developers seem to covet those empty spaces as if they're useless. And sometimes we preserve those spaces, sometimes we don't. We have two guests who are fighting to make sure spaces in their areas. And so please, everybody, listen to what they have to say so you can put that same fight into your local neighborhood. Michael, tell us what you're doing in the South Bronx and what you're fighting for.
Yeah, we're fighting for more access to green space and nature-based solutions. Our community shoulders a lot of environmental and industrial burdens, even traffic and transportation. We have three highways encircling our community. We have some of the highest rates of asthma, obesity, diabetes in the country, and definitely in the city. And we're fighting for quality of life and nature-based solutions that will enhance our ability to live healthier, have healthier outcomes. So our reason for looking for green space as an answer is because we have one park in our community for there about 60,000 people. Mm-hmm. The others are green spaces. The other so-called parks are only asphalt playgrounds. And we, of course, have heat island effect here, which is terrible. So we need green space to mitigate some of the harm that's been plagued on for our community for decades.
Roger.
Also, I'm sure.
Yeah. Governor's Island is New York City's incredibly unique 172-acre, we call it our country place in the city resource, in the center of New York Harbor. It's only 800 yards off the tip of Manhattan. And it belongs actually to all New Yorkers. Reportedly, there's around 1 million visits a year from all the zip codes around the city. It's a safe, one-of-a-kind pastoral experience for New York City families and their children, and it's an essential natural public health and well-being resource for all New Yorkers, particularly for low- and middle-income New Yorkers who can't really get out of the city in the summer, like people that have, you know, more resources. And it's a former military base. Actually, it was first used by Lenape people, and then it was kind of the first New York City when the Dutch and the Belgians settled there, and then it became a military base, a Coast Guard base, and then turned over to the city in the early 2000s. It's got a historic district, a high school, currently unprotected parkland, environmental, educational, arts projects, fitness, and recreation. And MAGIC, Metro Area Governors Island Coalition, has a sign-on statement that includes a couple of organizations from the Bronx to make a connection here. The Bronx Climate Justice North signed on, North Bronx Racial Justice signed on to our kind of community statement, you could call it. And so essentially in 2021, the city, despite a lot of resistance, upzoned the island, kind of greenwashing that whole upzoning by advertising a climate center campus that would come in, which is only going to take up 25% of this sort of what they call the development zones. And it's just putting all these high-rise buildings. It's allowing for high-rise buildings and 200 parking spaces manufacturing all this stuff on an island of completely low-rise structures, a lot of green space, a lot of wildlife. Actually, and people don't seem to catch on to this, the Trust for Governor's Island, their tax statements classify or claim Governor's Island as a wildlife preserve.
And this was against the original deed. There was a lot of work put into making sure that Governor's Island was protected. And now the developers are coming in and stepping all over what was supposedly a done deal and accepted and for the people.
That's a very good description of the situation. Magic is pursuing a lawsuit, with the lawsuit hanging by a thread, but it's still going, which is saying that the city's decision to approve a zoning that includes a lot of features that invite violation of the deed is arbitrary and capricious. The city's decision to approve the zoning is what we're challenging in a lawsuit. And you're right. If you look at the zoning, it has all kinds of things that if they actually happened would violate protections and definitions and sort of mission laid out in the 2003 deed and a thing called the 2010 master plan, which was this master plan that, you know, it's not totally crazy about it, but it is definitely a reasonable plan for Governor's Island, which set aside areas to put up some development to bring in income. But, you know, 10 years later, then the big real estate interests get in there and try to triple plan was.
Now, it's interesting, Roger, you're talking about a lawsuit, but Michael is talking about laws, that you've got some bills that you're trying to preserve the South Bronx. Tell us about your strategy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we looked at what's happened here over and over again, this cycle of harm that's plagued and caused so much environmental and health, poor health outcomes and consequences. For some of the things I mentioned earlier, it's because of the cumulative impact of all these different, or can I say the overburden of one community for all the things that will benefit New York City and New York State, but cause us a lot of environmental injustices. So we fought to create a bill that lay dormant in the state assembly for about four decades. It's called the Cumulative Environmental Impact Bill. Was signed into law by Hochul in 2021. It will stop the continuous burdens of communities like ours that are considered disadvantaged communities and are environmental justice communities acknowledged by the EPA. But we're the place where you dump, you zone for the heaviest and most noxious uses of polluting facilities, right? From fossil power plants, waste transfer stations, a significant maritime industrial area, the second largest in the city. We live in a peninsula and have no access to it. And so folks who live in a community who are probably on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder aren't afforded to have the kind of equitable access to green space that others enjoy around the city. And I think when you look at places like Little Island or Brooklyn Bridge Park or even Randall's Island, I mean, it's close to our community, but it's far. And if we live in a place where water is three sides of our community, we don't have access to it. That's an injustice on its face. And it's been this way for decades. So what we've been trying to do is create legislation that will stop the continuously burdening of our community for things that will benefit everyone else. For instance, Fresh Direct, right, have a huge fleet on our waterfront. We fought them more than a decade ago to stop bringing 1,000 diesel trucks to our community every day.
1,000?
Don't bring 1,000 diesel truck trips to our community every day and expect us to pay $150 million in taxpayer subsidies to do it. So this was something the governor, then Mario Andrew Cuomo, and then Mayor Bloomberg and our past borough president, Ruben Diaz, thought was a really great idea before any kind of public contribution or public hearing took place. They thought it was a great idea to bring this huge heavy truck intensive burdening type of operation to a community already existing and considered to be asthma alley. Right. So those type of projects of where you keep burdening the same kind of communities like ours without providing the green space equity that's necessary to enhance our lives and not reducing our life expectancy, but enhancing it.
Too often these projects are considered on their own without any consideration of the cumulative impact of what's already in the community. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah, we're forced to look at one project at a time, right? Like we keep fighting one thing at a time instead of looking at how they are working collectively, combining to have this cascading impact, which is the problem that we see existing in communities of color that are environmental justice communities.
And you're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
Now back to our guests.
Roger Manning and Michael Johnson. Michael and Roger, what drives you crazy is that maybe I'm just being weird, but it seems intuitive that green spaces are important. Green spaces are healthy. People who buy property want to buy property near a green space. So clearly there's a financial, and yet the politicians will let developers destroy green spaces one after another. What the bleep is going on?
Profit.
Greed. Actually, something that Michael touched on reminds me to highlight something about the rezoning battle on Governor's Island is when we're in court, the city argues, well, nothing is ripe yet. They haven't actually put up these developments that would violate the deed. So what are you whining about or something like this, you know? And what they suggest is, well, you know, one project at a time, once they get, you know, proposed, and then we challenge one project at a time. That's the whole design of trying to stop us from overturning the zoning, because we really need to overturn the zoning. The zoning is the issue, not this climate center and other things that they're currently talking about that might happen soon. And that's the plan. It's much harder for the community to challenge each project as they come up, as opposed to the blanket zoning, which is problematic and actually, you know, promotes illegal things. And one of the key things in our lawsuit that we bring up is, well, the deed for Governor's Island requires that 40 acres of parkland, contiguous parkland, 40 acres, a 40-acre park be established and dedicated in perpetuity. And you go out to Governor's Island, if you've been there, you well,
perpetuity means forever, right?
Right. And so you see this. They built essentially a 43-acre park to start out with when they were kind of the new phase of development on Governor's Island. They did that first. And so the trust and the city and the lawyers say, look, we got our park. But, you know, there's no parkland on Governor's Island aside from the national park areas, which is like 22 acres out of 172. And so isn't that shocking? There's no parkland on Governor's Island. Nothing that's legally protected parkland. They call it the open space subarea. And in fact, the rezoning has rezoned the parkland to C4-1, which is high-rise commercial zoning. And so they could technically build something on the parkland tomorrow, but what their zoning calls for in the short term is they can build on 20% of the so-called parkland and put manufacturing in basements or cellars underneath the parkland, so-called parkland, the open space subarea. So the point, getting back to what you were saying, Ken, is green space? What green space? Oh, my goddess. It's cut me off here. Move on to the next point.
Yeah,
Michael has something.
Yeah, I got something to say. For one thing, our city and the state don't really look at parks and green space as the social benefit and economic potential it has. They look at developing housing as the economic or industrial sidings as economic development and job creators and not green space. In fact, we only see green space created like after housing has been built. And it's a lure for folks to, so they can have better economics or better profit motives for to bring people to their buildings. But they're not building for people. They're building for profit. So I think that the reverse needs to happen. I think the cost benefit, the social benefit of actually creating green space is much higher in terms of the health consequences as well, that will be new communities will see and benefit from having that accessibility. And not just green space, but green space close to the water's edge. That combined like benefit is unmeasurable, and it should be measured. And we've actually did cost benefit analysis with Earth Economics and Columbia Climate School on actually quantifying our waterfront plant that we created because we had no access to our peninsula. We created our own waterfront plant. We created seven plots, different plots along our peninsula to give access and recreational opportunities, but also resiliency. And so we did a cost benefit analysis to better able to tell our story, why it's important to create green space. But I think these green spaces like Governor's Island should be held in the green space that we know that are vital to our survival. Climate change and environmental justice both are great attributes to helping green spaces, that helping element that can help us fend off what's inevitable right now, right? And the peninsula I live on is in a flood zone. And we know we'll be inundated with the next superstorm or thereabout, even greater, but they should be held under the public trust doctrine. You know, we have Central Park as part of the public trust doctrine. Why isn't Governor's Island and why aren't the other green spaces that are really vital to our survival not held under the public trust doctrine?
Absolutely. Captain Bill of Hackensack Riverkeeper talks about, you know, the commons and holding things in public trust, and that the government is responsible for protecting it for the people, not, you know, for the investors. But yeah.
And on Governor's Island, actually, part of our lawsuit brings up the public trust doctrine with regard to the so-called parkland or the open space subarea. We point out the sort of double bind that the city lawyers put themselves in. They're claiming that they did dedicate the parkland. Well, if so, then you're violating the public trust doctrine by zoning that. But then if you haven't, then you're violating the deed by not having dedicated the parkland. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not really funny. But
we actually created a community land trust to be that natural opposing force to real estate speculation and gentrification. So community could hold in trust these public and entities that are vital to our survival in perpetuity. So I would say that Governor's Island should find a way to make sure they're part of a trust, or at least a community land trust that could be held in perpetuity and stop the commodification of this land, which should be a resource for all.
We entirely agree, and Magic has looked into that. Actually, there is a trust, the Trust for Governor's Island. Unfortunately, that is they are the problem. Although the Trust for Governor's Island actually has done a lot of really admirable, amazing work in Governor's Island over the years. But of course, then there's a turnover. De Blasio appointed Alicia Glenn to be the head of the trust, and she's in the past from Goldman Sachs and as a deputy mayor, and quote unquote refers to Governor's Island quote as a nice piece of real estate. So you know, to create, you had to get around the trust for Governor's Island to create a land trust there, and I'll stop there, but because there's so much more.
Yeah. Michael, you had mentioned that there were four bills that you guys were proposing to help protect. Could you go into detail on those? And if there's bill numbers, please let us know.
Yeah, right now, City Council, we have a bundle of bills around community lands, around a Community Land Act, it's called, for public land for public good. It's called COPA also, which is Community Opportunity to Purchase, having the first right of refusal for public land. Is something I wasn't prepared to talk much about today, but I think it's something that we should all look into. We're looking for support. We right now have almost a veto-proof majority. Of course, our mayor doesn't really see this as an attribute that needs to be really pushed forward, because we see how public land has not been used for public good. It's actually being used to hurt us. So how do we flip that? How do we create something that's more sustainable? And that's why community land trusts around the city, which there's about 22 land trusts right now, community land trusts, part of an entity called NICELY, New York City Community Land Initiative. New York City Community Land Initiative, NICELY, NYCCLI. They are an entity of an organizing body for the COTs that are already formed or budding. Cooper Square being one of the very oldest, they're pretty much rooted in creating deeply affordable housing. But we're looking at how public land is not just housing, it's also green space. And we have to have that equitable balance because all that creates health, a healthier community.
Oh, yeah.
So our community land trust in the South Bronx is called the Mott Haven Port Morris Community Land Stewards. So as we're trying to, again, take away the commodification of land and steward it as it takes care of us, we have to take care of this land. And so we're trying to remove it from the speculative market, be the natural opposing force to speculation, and be the guardians of our own public trust.
You know, those public lands not only are beneficial to we humans, but in the middle of this mass extinction, a lot of wildlife is dependent on those migratory flying birds, resident wildlife, etc.
We have Brothers Island. It's sitting there that's underutilized, and that's a natural resource. And we've been looking at, from the state perspective, the New York State's Open Space Advisory Committee nominating green spaces to be used and activated for our accessibility and keep them green spaces. But these, we have many around the city that need to be nominated, need to be prioritized, need to be held under the public trust doctrine because they provide us life.
Yeah.
Does that public trust document extend to, like, say, Westchester, Long Island?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a state mandated element or law.
Michael, this is very inspiring for us magic folks, and I'm going to get in touch after the show and make sure we have a bunch of that information because definitely applies to Governor's Island and also definitely what is applies to Governor's Island is the health and emotional benefits of the green space. There's organizations that have events there just because of that. But something else that comes to mind here when we're talking about green space along the water and green space along neighborhoods and stuff is the City of Yes rezoning deregulation efforts by the current mayor's administration, which this thing called City of Yes, it's a big package of zoning deregulations that are extremely frightening and damaging for the city potentially. And what someone explained in a recent webinar was, well, part of it is they're moving or increasing allowed industrial uses in residential buildings, moving industrial activities away from waterfronts because that's where the valuable real estate is. So instead of, you have the new Hudson River Park or new-ish Hudson River Park and parks along the Hudson going all the way uptown, all that property where there was a lot of, manufacturing and such, they want to deregulate the residential areas so they can move that industrial stuff, spread it across the city and then build condos or have condos in those places adjacent to the green space, adjacent to the water. I don't know if we want to talk about the City of Yes deregulation at all.
Yeah, I think we should talk about the City of Yes because what the City of Yes means, you want to preserve green spaces? No. You want to think about wildlife? No. You want a healthier environment? No. The City of Yes is full of no.
Absolutely.
It's a weird name. But of course, the yes is for a handful of rich people, and the no is for everybody else in the whole city.
It should be called the City of No, but anyway.
Well, it's the mayor of No.
Just a quick tip, if you want to find out a lot more about the City of Yes, MTOP, Movement to Protect the People in Brooklyn. Alicia Boyd is one of the key people there. They're part of, they're connected with the Crown Heights Tenants Union and the botanical gardens sort of zoning battles and stuff out there where they've actually had some success. MTOP.org has all kinds of just quick and videos and information about the City of Yes that get you up to speed really quickly.
You have a website for them?
Yeah, mtop.org. Let me just double check it. Okay. M-O-T.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many people working on preserving a local green space, but only their local green space, not realizing that if they network with everybody who's doing this, they have one powerful, gigantic accumulation of voters.
And yeah, MTOP is definitely working locally, but...
Well, the thing is that they have information for everybody. I know Michael is networking with a lot of different organizations, right?
That's correct. In fact, we just started a Green Space Equity Coalition of entities around the city that are interested in preserving green space and creating that equitable access to that. And as a body of CLTs, environmental justice organization, just advocates around green space equity. I can put something in the chat for later, but it's really important that we work together. I totally agree with you. And I think that power and that coalition building and collaboration will hopefully bear the fruit where we can be there for each other in those advocacy moments when we need each other. Right now, it seems Governor Island Magic needs us. The South Bronx needs Magic. Absolutely. We need to work together to really achieve this equity and this justice and preserving these green natural resources in perpetuity.
Consider Magic joined up. and that Magic is in somewhat of a coalition with other land use groups that aren't all necessarily green space focused, or they care about green space, but it's more about zoning and such. And that's called Cities, People, Land Use Alliance, and we meet once a month.
We've had Roger on EcoLogic before. This is Michael's first time here, but the two of you are doing so much similar work. And one of the things that I've been proud of EcoLogic since 2002, when the show started, is networking and having multiple guests, giving each other's phone numbers and emails to continue the work together. And I am so happy that we can do this. I am so glad we have a venue to tell people what's going on. We love doing shows like this.
Absolutely. Pacifica, WBAI is just heck, I used to be on the board of Pacifica at one point and certainly a volunteer at WBAI. It's been essential in that respect, especially your show.
So I got to say, in these divisive times of political turmoil, there is one place you can go to hear the voices of the people. Listener-supported radio. There are many viewpoints, and we bring you discussion and experts you won't hear anywhere else. This is your media. Sure, we ask for your donations. Isn't that better than when media companies take their dollars from influencers with corporate money? Yep, we think so too. So please be generous with your support, whether you request a thank you gift or join us as an EcoLogic BAI buddy. It all works to keep your radio station on the air. We appreciate all our listeners, and we appreciate when you show us that you want us to stay on the air. Just like change doesn't happen unless activists like our guests today take the steps to make it happen, media doesn't just stay on the air without your action either. In this case, your financial support. Please call 212-209-2950 or go to
Donna's connection is getting messed up here. Let us know you're a listener.
Let us know you're a listener. We love you to go to our website and sign up for our email.
Your contribution to WBAI is a testament to your belief in the power of grassroots media and the strength of our community bonds. I think you're hearing about those bonds for this entire hour. We are particularly grateful to our EcoLogic BAI buddies who help ensure that the station's bills get paid. Please join us now so you can be proud of having done your part to keep EcoLogic and WBAI on the air.
And prepared shows such as Democracy Now!, Afrobeat, On the Count, Covert Action Bulletin, To Beyond the Pale, Clearing the Fog, and Off the Hook, plus art shows such as Midnight Ravers, Hour of the Wolf, and Golden Age of Radio. Health and science shows such as Heart of Mind and Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, over 100 more. You'll hear voices on WBAI that are left out of mainstream media. Please do your part to help us bring you incredible programming. Call to donate 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org.
That's 212-209-2950 and givetowbai.org. And if you listen on the internet, you'll be glad to know that the FCC has just restored net neutrality. It's official now. So it's illegal for your service provider to slow down our signal. But we still need to ensure that our tower rent is paid so that our on-the-air broadcast is uninterrupted. Please support WBAI. The number to call is 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org. When you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you're giving us a reliable source of support we can depend on, just as you can depend on WBAI. We're here for you all the time, and you'll be helping to ensure we stay here. Just $10 or $15 a month, more if you can, enables people to listen wherever they are.
Every dollar you contribute goes directly towards such a sustaining independent journalism, empowering grassroots initiatives, and fostering a sense of belonging in our community. Together, we can make a difference through the power of community radio.
Saturday, we lost Corrine Willinger, a treasured member of the labor movement, peace movement, activist community, teacher, songwriter for the Raging Grannies, a frequent guest on Ecologic, and a decades-long member of WBAI, and an amazing Scrabble player. Rest in power, Corrine Willinger. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert. We'll be taking listener calls in just a few minutes. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. We want to thank some of the listeners who have been supporting our program with their donations. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, Naomi Brussel, David from Manhattan, and even an online listener from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. When you donate, please let us know if we can thank you on the air. We may not get your information during that show, but we appreciate all our listeners, and we'll thank you publicly as soon as we can.
The Environment TV is doing a bi-weekly forum, which they put on their YouTube channel. The latest one, the third, has a segment by R. Ken explaining what a greenhouse gas is, why they're called that, and what they do. It's got a lot of great compliments. See it for yourself. We link to it from our website, ecoradio.org.
And before we take listener phone calls, Michael and Roger, starting with you, Michael, what do you want listeners to do?
I want listeners to understand that if they love green space, they love being close to and around nature, there are communities that don't have that kind of accessibility. And there's needs for our collaborative efforts to ensure not only that accessibility, but also for those spaces like Governor's Island that needs solidarity. So we need to work together to fend off the Build Baby Build area we're in right now, where everything's being built because of what have you. I'm not sure who they're building these homes and these houses for, but we need green space. We need to protect our parks and our open spaces because that's what provides us life. And it will be much more sustainable for what's to come in terms of climate change. So work together.
Roger?
Roger here. What Michael said, of course. And in terms of Governor's Island right now, what we're you know, it's a resource that millions of people visit, but millions of New Yorkers don't even know they have yet. And people that go there regularly don't realize this horrible rezoning happened, and this land grab is looming. So what we need right now, people to spread the word. And what we've come up with is recently a nice 6-minute video presentation, The Future of Governor's Island, Beauty versus the Beast. And actually, speaking of environmental TV, Charlie from that group helped grab some of the footage for us. So if you go to govislandcoalition.org, it's right on the homepage. It's on YouTube, too. It's called.
You know, it occurs to me while we're waiting for your calls, 212-209-2877. I know Governor's Island has activities every Saturday and Sunday for the entire summer. Does the peninsula in the South Bronx, do they have activities every weekend as well? You're muted.
Michael, you're muted.
Sorry about that. This weekend, the 26th of May, we're having a Wellness in the Park event at 349 East 140th Street, next to the old Lincoln Recovery Center, that we're trying to reclaim for our community, which we're doing a Wellness in the Park event where we are trying to show health connection to green space. All are welcome. That's this Sunday from 11 to 1, 349 East 140th Street in the South Bronx.
Yeah.
What about other weekends? Michael, what about other weekends?
Yeah, we're trying to do things every at least 2 or 3 times a month. So What's coming up after that will be more green space opportunities for envisioning and reengaging about our waterfront plan. And we'll make sure that Ecologic has that to share with your listeners.
Absolutely.
Ken, just to quickly elaborate on some of the Governor's Island stuff, that there's the Urban Farm every weekend and the Teaching Garden. There's going to be a Lavender Festival coming up. There's the hammock groves. There's all kinds of outdoor stuff all every day of the week. There's a ferry going out there, and there's a lot of free ticket options, particularly if you have an NYC ID or if you're in NYCHA housing or a senior or a veteran. The ferry is free before 11 a.m. on weekends for everybody. And then there's lots of arts and environmental programs that just started up this past weekend.
You didn't mention one of my very favorite parts of Governor's Island, which is the people who are talking about bees. They have a beehive, but they have a lot of displays about native species of bees. Honeybees are not native. There's a lot of information, and the people who staff that area are just absolutely wonderful.
That's in the Urban Farm. That's the Bee Conservancy, and you're right. They're awesome. They had World Bee Day last weekend. It was just a whole lot of information. And Michael, we can Magic would like to host your organization for a walk around sometime, so I'll get in touch with you on that.
That's great. I was just at Governor's Island yesterday for I spoke to some folks at the architectural center in the Bronx, the Brook House. I'll get that.
Lockhouse, IPA.
Lockhouse. Yeah, IPA. That's right.
For Public Architecture has actually had a Magic show them around, and they hosted the Rude Mechanical Orchestra retreat last week, and that's another group that we're all very well connected with here.
And Roger is a part of the Rude Mechanical Orchestra. And I want to give one more shout out to an annual event at Governor's Island Art Space. And I've kayaked over to Governor's Island and participated Art Space. It's pretty cool. In our last few minutes here,
we have a caller.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we haven't taken calls in a while. So
we had a lot of interest on Facebook, so I expected to have more callers. We have time for one caller.
Ed.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Your question, please.
Hello. Am I on air?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any kind of internet resource, search engine, even PDF file of green spaces in New York City that that anyone can get access to.
A listing of green spaces in the city?
Yes.
There should be a green space resource.
Green Maps has information like that. I think it's simply greenmaps.org. I'll double check that. But yeah, Green Maps has information on all kinds of material like that.
And also, when we find the link, we will put that on our website, ecoradio.org. Go ahead, Roger.
Also, New Yorkers for Parks has information like that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's greenmapsingular.org, greenmap.org.
Uh-huh.
One of the key people in that was the organization, a key member of MAGIC, go figure. And also MAGIC's tied into East River Park Action, a lot of green space groups around the city, actually also with the South Street Seaport Coalition, and who just their legal battle.
This has been such a great discussion, but it's time to wrap up.
Oh, so
thanks for joining us.
And thank you, caller, because that information needed to come out.
Excellent. You can find more information with today's guest at www.govislandcoalition.org and linktree/South Bronx Unite. That's linktr.ee/South Bronx Unite. Spell it out. As always, if you'd like a follow-up or news report on any of these topics or our other previous shows or news items, email us using the clickable link near the top of the page, just under the promo meme, ecoradio.org. And please go to givetowbi.org to become a BII buddy or make a donation.
Join us next Wednesday, May 29th at 10 a.m. for Saving Mother Ocean with author Steve Andrews and musician. We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please sign up our email list and like our Facebook page. We are at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
We welcome you to get involved at WBAI. Check the meeting section of the WBAI.org homepage for dates and times. And of course, we always need your contributions to support everything that makes the broadcast happen. Pledging as an Ecologic BAI buddy now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're sure you already see the value of Ecologic and WBAI and support us. Ecologic covers issues such as fast fashion, PCBs, PFAS,
plastic everywhere, climate change, community ecology,
bioregionalism, energy issues, healthy food activism,
environmental justice, wildlife protection, clean air and water,
wise transportation, green buildings, and connecting with other issues.
Restore, conserve, and celebrate the natural world.
And as always, we welcome you to go to our website and let us know what's important to you. We have often covered topics that you, our listeners, suggest. Our website is ecoradio.org.
Thanks in advance for your support. Call 212-209-2950 or go to givetowbai.org. If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or donation. Get mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We are always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
So our thanks to Michael Johnson of South Bronx Unite and Roger Manning of MAGIC. And our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Wednesday, May 29th at 10 a.m. for Saving Mother Ocean.
Uh-oh. We've lost Donna again. Ah! We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between the excellent programs, Covert Action Bulletin and Living for the City. Check our website for details. And what Michael G. is doing on Living for the City today, right after this show, it's almost like a follow-up to this. These two shows work together so well. Now, thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
children, jump off the train. The rest of you, on the floor. I said pronto.
But kind sir, this isn't just any train. It's the Arts Express. We're in the middle of a fascinating interview with a major film director. And following that will be a review of a new indie feature. And then there's a reading from one of the most stimulating poets in the U.S.
That does sound interesting. Well, in that case, let's all retire to the bar car and listen. Let's keep that big train a-rolling.
That's Arts Express, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. with host Prairie Miller and co-host Jack Shalom.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Good morning. Good day to you. My name is Michael G. Haskins, your radio host and guide weekday mornings. I'm the station's chief announcer and Ken Gale was quite right. We are following, that is to say, each other's programs are following similar themes today. It doesn't often follow in this regard, but this time it does. We're going to be talking about the City of Yes. We're going to be talking about zoning. We're going to be talking about the Elizabeth Street Garden and green spaces and our access to those green spaces. All that's coming up on Living for